Okay, we ready to start?
I can't think of a damn thing to say.
You don't have anything to say.
I have nothing to say.
I will pick up the ball and run with it. Ladies and gentlemen, lock and load. This is another edition of Political QRM, and it's really important this time.
Oh my gosh! Is it important? What a banner day!
It's a Snorfest.
It's what?
Snorfest.
No, it's not.
Oh, you know, I read a thing very early morning about the vice presidential announcement.
Yeah.
And some had already written an article calling it the bland leading the bland.
Hey. No, that was if Portman was going to be tapped. He was the bland leading the bland. It wasn't Ryan.
They said it still applies.
Who said that?
Listen, I don't recall. It wasn't Juan Williams.
Juan Williams. I'm not going to take anything he says. You know.
No, I look at it this way. It may or may not be the bland leading the bland. Look. I remember everything he did on the Hill. You know, okay, he's a great guy. He's a hard ass conservative. No two ways about it. You know, you can tell because you can actually see the outlines of the 2x4s along his spine. You know, he's not a bad pick. I have to vote. You know, I don't care who he picked. I still got to vote for him.
Yes, but I think Paul Ryan will actually make people think. There are a few reasons why I think he picked them. One, he knows how to tear down Obamacare. He has done it to Obama's face.
I remember watching that on CNN. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Okay. Number two, the man's Catholic. You know? They're...
Oh!
What?
Oh. Catholic?
Yes.
Oh! Be still my heart.
Maybe be still. I think this is a great slap in the face. He's also a family man.
I have nothing. I really have nothing detrimental to say.
He used to work with Jack Kemp.
Well, okay, now I got something detrimental to say.
Why?
I'm busting you. Look, I really have nothing detrimental to say about him. All I could say is that when I read it this morning, it was like, yawn.
No, I think it's a very good pick. I do.
Good pick because when they appear together, at least one of them will take their jacket and roll up their shirt sleeves.
Well, yeah. But Romney did. I watched some of Romney today and the pick and everything, and it seemed to go very well. And I think he has the potential to loosen up Romney. And I think that's good.
I think he has the potential to loosen up Romney. And I think he has potential to tighten up the traditionally Democrat Catholics in this country.
Yeah, that's good.
Thing, because this is a play directly into the turbulence that is the mandated birth control payments under Obamacare. They took full advantage of that. However, I believe that the Tea Party will be there for him.
Yes, definitely.
As I said to you the other day, that may not be that much of a be-all, end-all game winner. Look, it could have been worse. You and I have spoken about it more than once. It could have been worse. Mm-hmm. He could have picked someone that would have flat out cost him the election. And there are several. We've named them.
Yes. Well, let's just go through a little bit about Paul Ryan, okay?
Okay. A little background, a little backstory.
Yeah. Okay, now he's represented Wisconsin's first House district since 1999. He grew up in Wisconsin, obviously. His father died when he was 16. He attended the University, Miami University of Ohio. He graduated with a degree in economics and political science. And then after graduating from college, he worked as a marketing consultant for his family's business, Ryan Inc., a construction firm founded by his great-grandfather in 1884. He also headed up his own consulting firm and worked as an aide to former Senator Robert Caston Jr. until 93. And in 95, he became Senator Sam Brownback's legislative director until 97. And he also worked as a speechwriter for William Bennett and helped Jack Kemp in his first bid for vice president, in his bid for vice president.
This litany.
First thing.
This litany of credentials. You know, up until you started talking about his political cred, his personal cred almost made me say, "You sure this guy ain't Italian?"
I know. I know. Yeah, I know.
No,
but
you know, it always hurts worse when it's a bison. You know, sometimes when it's something good, it always feels better when it's a bison.
I know. No, but, seriously, I'm pleased about this. I really
His political cred is so straight up conservative. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody with even one conservative hair on one or the other of their arms that isn't going to have them stand up for this guy, because he is all that in a bag of chips when it comes to, I mean, between, you know, all of the, whether it was a speechwriter for Bennett, whether it helped Kemp, I mean, all of these things are such intensely credible, conservative feathers in his cap, so to speak. This guy's wearing a conservative war bonnet.
Yep. Let's, you know what, let me also touch on the five major issues and how he votes on them. First one, abortion. He's got 100% voting record with the National Right to Life Committee. He voted against allowing embryonic stem cell research, voted against the transportation of minors across state lines for abortions, and he voted against partial birth abortions except to save a mother's life. I like that. Immigration. Voted in favor of building a fence along the Mexican border. Voted in favor of extending immigrant residency rules. Voted in favor of comprehensive immigration reform without amnesty. Eh? I like that. Civil rights. Voted in favor of prohibiting job discrimination based on sexual orientation. Voted to protect the Pledge of Allegiance and has expressed support for an amendment to ban flag desecration. Families. Voted to ban gay adoptions in Washington. Voted to constitutionally define marriage as between one man and one woman, which I would expect,
well,
considering he's Catholic.
Wait a minute. I want you to start back at the top. Please.
Abortion?
And I want you to stop all the way back to issue one, and let's go down this one at a time. But literally, I'm just going to give you, we're going to play Freudian here. We're going to do some free association. You're going to hit me with the issue. I'm going to put 2 cents in, and we're going to move on. This isn't going to take forever. I'm not going to digress. You know,
okay.
Go ahead.
Abortion.
How much more conservative do you need to be? Go ahead.
Okay. Immigration.
No. I mean, each of the sub-issues.
100% voting record with the National Right to Life Committee.
That guarantees him
right
a whole bunch of votes. Go ahead.
Against allowing embryonic stem cell research.
Now, he's going to have a line he has to walk very fine here. He voted against it, and yet even some of the outside the inner circle Bush people are not necessarily against that. But
that's
go ahead.
That's true. Voted against transportation of minors across state lines for abortions.
You know what? That's just white slavery. Go ahead. Next.
Yeah. Voted against partial birth abortions except to save a mother's life. And I agree with that.
And anybody, I don't care how conservative you are, I mean, okay, Bill Donahue aside, you know, anybody that would risk a mother's life because of a baby at any stage, and I mean if the baby is 23 years old, you know, anybody... anybody that would risk a mother's life.
Okay, go ahead.
Is just being silly and has never been in a position to have to decide this, has never had a family member in a position to have to decide this, and they're pontificating from some soapbox that has no soap in it. Next.
But I think his views on abortion are common sense. And
My point precisely. Yeah, pardon me, I was exactly swallowing some of my Werner's ginger ale. Okay. I apologize.
Immigration now. Let's go. He's in favor of building a fence across the across the Mexican border, along, excuse
and me. So are 65% of the people who live here, including some illegal aliens.
Yeah, I know. And then he voted in favor of extending immigrant residency rules.
Immigrant residency rules? Like, you mean all those 1,500 people who claimed their tax checks out of that one address?
Oh, yeah, isn't that nice?
Would actually have to live there?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Yeah, and then he voted in favor of comprehensive immigration reform without amnesty.
Without amnesty. Thank you very much. Next.
There you go. Civil rights. Voted in favor of prohibiting job discrimination based on sexual orientation. Again, common sense.
Take that, you 3% of the gay militia.
Yep, there you go. Voted to protect Pledge of Allegiance.
You chopped on me. Give me that again.
Voted to protect the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, there are people out there that want to do away with it, or they want to take...
I'm sorry. It shouldn't need protecting.
I know that, unfortunately,
but since it does, then thank the spirits we have somebody that's willing to say so. Next.
Has expressed support for an amendment to ban flag desecration.
It shouldn't need protecting.
Unfortunately, it does.
And thank you, Supreme Court of the United States, for saying so.
Yeah.
Next.
Families voted to ban gay adoptions in Washington.
Now, you got me here. We're going to move along.
Okay.
Voted, I don't see the eye with him on that.
Voted to constitutionally defend marriage as between one man and one woman.
Again, we're talking about 2 or 3% of a less than 10% minority. We're talking across the United States, we're talking about 300-400 people that are driving this issue. Just tell them shut up and sit down. Next.
Exactly. Voted to reduce the marriage tax by $399 billion over 10 years.
Not bad.
Not bad. I think that's good. And then voted to establish a nationwide Amber Alert system for missing children. Which I think
we don't have.
No. Okay, the biggie here.
I thought we had one. I thought we had an Amber Alert system already.
Well, that's what they're saying, though. But that's what he did. Look, he voted that.
That's right. He was part of the vote that gave us that. Fine.
Yeah.
That's great. Because milk cartons weren't working.
That's right. Then here's a biggie. Gun control has an A rating by the National Rifle Association.
Which gives him an A rating in my book.
Yes. 1999, he voted to decrease gun waiting periods from 3 days to one.
I used to have a very large number of friends in Wisconsin for the years I spent with Harley-Davidson Motor Company. I don't know what their rules are like. I haven't been there in many years, but I'm sorry, in Maine, we don't have a waiting period. So...
Well, there you go. And then he voted to prevent gun makers, gun manufacturers, and gun sellers from being sued for gun misuse.
And that's an older one, and thank goodness he was there, because that was an issue that was... Oh, that would have been right there with extra large movie popcorn and extra large Slurpees and extra large cans of Enfamil formula and extra large... Extra large
anything.
Air, extra large water, extra large anything in the city of New York that Hisana Danan could regulate. And thank goodness he was there at the vanguard of that one. Yeah, do we have more?
No, oh, those are the five biggies. Those are the five biggies. But you do remember that he is responsible for H.R. 6110, A Roadmap for America's Future, which was a comprehensive, which, of course, you know, the Democrats took, and they showed a life, well, a similar person with his looks, you know, throwing Granny off a cliff, you know.
Well, you know, I let's say it this way. I remember C-SPAN watching him tear Obamacare off the bottom of the docket, crumple it up, and throw it into wastebasket. Figuratively, he didn't actually do that.
Right.
You know, don't try and twist and contort. You know, but I remember watching that, and you know, I used to have, back in my coarser days, I used to have a whole bunch of euphemisms that weren't necessarily polite that I would apply to that. In other words, it was so much fun watching it, I wanted to go and get a serving of popcorn I couldn't possibly get in New York City and watch this over and over and over. Look, the man's got cred. The man's got papers. The man's got legs. We know that. And that's a great, great thing. My problem is, look, if they've already come out and said that, I'll get to this in a second. I snagged a cartoon from Western Journalism, I think it was at about 4:30 this morning, that showed the next Obama ad that says, not only didn't he pay his taxes, but if you vote for this man, you will get cancer and die.
God.
And you know, it's not going to take long. As a matter of fact, I haven't really, with the exception of getting this machine up and running and a new version of Skype and stuff, I really haven't spent much time online today.
Okay.
I was blessed with the fact that my little woman was out of the house for several hours, so I was able to catch up on stuff that, you know, I wait until she's gone, and I don't have to worry about it being interrupted.
Right.
So I was doing so much of that today. I am sure that CNN, MSNBC, and everybody else has already been all over this guy, except, and I love this, Fareed Zakaria.
Fareed Zakaria's got his own problems. What are you kidding? Well, anyway, listen to this, though. Andrea Mitchell said something to the effect that he doesn't understand suburban moms. And
Wait a minute. Now, I'm trying so hard to not be impolite, okay?
Yeah.
Andrea Mitchell has been around for...
Yeah?
Well, let's just say...
Forever?
She's been around long enough to have put a physician with a knife on payroll.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what she doesn't remember is, in the glare of the Klieg lights, her face looks so pretty, and her neck looks like she's a turkey.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm trying not to be ad hominem here.
Yeah.
She's been around for a really, really long time, and my point to be made there is, I don't think has a damn clue what a suburban mom is in touch with either.
Exactly. She says, he's not a pick for suburban moms, not a pick for women. Okay, Andrew.
He is more of a pick for women than anybody with a D after their name. Well, except Romney.
Well, I didn't... okay, we won't go there. We will not go there. But there goes that, and... wait a minute, what?
Pick is because the reason that Ryan is such a great pick is because Romney's a freaking Democrat.
Wow.
You know, you had to put at least one Republican on the ticket, right?
Well, yeah, he is a moderate. Yes, I will give you that. I will give you that. He is a moderate.
Oh, okay. Is that what we're doing? Okay.
Well, Rhino, okay. You know, I'm just very, very grateful he put Ryan on the ticket. I really am, because, you know, I would have said, oh, God, here we go again. It's McCain all over again.
And I say, exactly.
Yeah.
And we've said it 1,000 times, on air and off. We didn't vote for the old guy. We voted for the hot chick.
Yeah, you betcha. Right? Mm-hmm. You betcha.
You know, the only thing...
I don't think you got that, did you, sweetie?
Much sense. Now, my problem is keeping the Tea Party's mouth shut.
The reports I've read so far is that Tea Party people are thrilled. They are thrilled with the Ryan pick because he speaks their language. So the only one who's pissed off for some reason is Mike Savage. I don't know why, but he is.
Savage is a pissed off person.
He ticked off everybody.
When he looks outside and sees the sun, and it's, ah, God, the sun's out again. You know, I mean.
That's true.
He's kind of, face it, he's me with a bigger microphone.
There you go. Okay. All right. I'll buy that.
If it's raining, it annoys him. If it's sunny, it annoys him. If there's a breeze, it annoys him. If it's perfectly calm, it annoys him. You know, if there's whether it was Paul Ryan, it would annoy him. If it was Condoleezza Rice, it would annoy him. If it was Alan West, it would annoy him. Yeah, look, he could have picked anybody.
Yeah.
And it would annoy Mike Savage. And God bless Mike Savage for being that way, because he brings that sense of making people stop and say, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Just long enough to make them go, huh? Where's my phone? Oh, click, 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 Google, click, 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 bang, click, 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 bang, click, 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 bang. And like, what's right. He complaining about?
Yeah. And the reaction from the Obama campaign, specifically the manager, Jim Messina, he said, Congressman Paul Ryan is best known as the author of a budget so radical, the New York Times called it the most extreme budget plan passed by a House of Congress in modern times. Now, he brings up the New York Times, so, you know, I mean, that just blows your cred to smithereens, Jim Messina. And then he says,
you know what?
What?
According to Jimmy Carter... Well, according to, you know, FDR,
yeah.
You know, well, according to
yeah.
According to the New York Times, you know, the Washington Post, according to the Inquirer.
Yeah, exactly. And then he continues, with Mitt Romney's support, Ryan would end Medicare as we know it and slash the investments we need to keep our economy growing, all while cutting taxes for those at the very top.
Oh, he will throw grandma and grandpa in the streets to catch rats and cook them over a fire in an oil drum under a train trestle.
Yeah.
Will they poison the air and water enough that they won't be able to breathe or drink after the government sends the black helicopters with the contrails to break all over them.
Everything. But the Medicare thing really makes me laugh, because Obama took out $716 billion out of Medicare to fund Obamacare.
Yep.
So.
Yep, ripped it out of there.
So.
That money sprang fully grown out of the side. You know, I'm trying to remember, was it Hatshepsut that said she sprang from the side of Amun-Ra? 3,100 years ago,
don't remember. Sorry, I wasn't there.
These people, well, it was actually 3 or 4 years before I came around, too. Okay. So the idea is that these people see it as, oh, they're going to raid these, they're going to shut off these funds. Well, you know what the thing is if they do shut off these funds, they won't be there to raid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a question of shutting off these funds. It's a question of protecting these funds. Mm-hmm. Because when grandma and grandpa are depending on Medicare, And there are so many people out there, and we've talked about this before. Everybody rails on both sides of the aisle. They rail about entitlements, 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 entitlements. And there's nothing wrong with an entitlement if you're one of the people entitled to it.
Yeah.
The problem comes in when you are not entitled to it and you're getting it anyway.
That's right. No, that's right. That's right.
No. There are people out there that are entitled. Look, there was a blurb came across. God save me. I think it was some AOL link on the bottom of something, on the bottom of something.
Right.
That said first responders in 9/11 are now being denied coverage for certain cancers that seem to be prevalent in amongst their ranks because the contract as it stood at the time when they were employed did not cover these sorts of things. You're kidding me.
Yeah, I know.
Do you really think for a second, for that matter, for a New York second, that these people are going to go to their grave $2, $3, $10 million in debt because of some loophole in some insurance company? Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. You know, do you really, really, really honest to goodness think that there's going to be somebody at an emergency room somewhere where grandma gets brought because she can't breathe, she can't this, she can't that, and they're going to turn her away and say, no, you know, here's a goodie bag for you, here's a can of cat food, you know? No. No, because the only people in this country that have wanted to create death panels are the people behind Obamacare.
That's right. That's right.
And nobody wants to poison the air, and nobody wants to poison the water, and nobody wants to throw your grandmother in the street, and nobody wants to take the books out of little Johnny's hands.
You know, what gets me about that is that They keep talking about, oh, Republicans are in favor of dirty air, dirty water, and everything. You know, I have to ask these idiots, do they think that we have some sort of hermetically sealed case that we walk around in and that we aren't affected by things like this? I mean, what are they, stupid? You know, like, if there's dirty air and dirty water, it's going to affect us.
We are so structured that when we were born, we had HEPA filters in our nose.
That's right.
And submicron, ceramic filters that'll filter, every pathogen known to man installed in our throats. So we could drink sewer water and...
It won't bother us. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it won't bother us. We can stand in the effluent from a smokestack on a steel mill and just breathe deep and enjoy the fresh air. Yeah, come on, people. Do you really say that? It's what carries that cartoon. Now, this fellow who was supposedly, quote-unquote, Reid's, quote-unquote, source for the fact that Romney has taxes in 10 years
right.
was named, but then the person who named them retracted the statement.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When it comes to the documents that pertain to certain presidential candidates, which of the two has a glaring, gaping hole in the form as to how many documents have been provided?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
He hasn't been. Somebody comes up to you in the street and says, well, he hasn't paid taxes in 10 years. I'm sorry. Have you actually checked? I mean, I'm sorry to mention, candidate for President of the United States of America, if he hasn't paid taxes in 10 years, don't you think somebody would have mentioned that already?
Yeah, that's true. Like, last time he ran, and don't you think that the IRS would be chasing him? I mean, 10 years, somebody who didn't notice that the IRS, the man is a high-profile person, he's ran for, he was governor,
he was this, he was that. You'd think they would have noticed by now. Oh, no. It's a good thing somebody came to Harry Reid and said, hey, he hasn't paid his taxes in 10 years.
Yeah.
Quick, get a hold of the IRS. And the IRS picked up the phone and said, oh, gee, thank you, Harry.
Yeah, I know. We had no clue.
Come on.
Yeah.
And this is that complete and total abject blind faith in the Democrat message that people have. It's so supersedes blind faith because these people aren't blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, you know, speaking about the documents and everything, Wayne Allyn Root. Who was a former Colombian classmate of Obama, says, hey, gee, you know, I don't remember this guy. Other people I've spoken to, we majored in the same things in college. And, gee, I don't remember seeing him. I don't remember anything mentioning of him. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there in his class.
His records are quote-unquote sealed.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know, he says that the whole class was 700 students, okay? And he was in political science and pre-law. And it's like maybe 200, 250, he said. And he said he was pretty familiar with most of them, and he never heard of them. None of his friends that he went to college with ever heard of him either. Now, let me tell you something. I went to Syracuse University. It's also a very large university. And the thing is if you're majoring in the same subjects as other people, you get to see these people over and over again, okay? And even if you're in these large seminars, if you're all in there and you keep seeing these people, you'll see them in large seminars, but you'll also see them in smaller classes. So, you know, you really get to know people who are majoring in the same subjects that you are. And it's
That's where I'm blessed in the fact that, you know, going to Bloomfield College, I did, when it came to, you know, political science pre-law, I was one of, I don't know, two dozen.
You knew everybody.
So for me, it was easy. Yeah. You know, I mean, the whole college had a student body of 6,000 kids. And most of them nursing, chiropractic, et cetera, pre-med, pre-chiro, pre-nursing, pre-this, that, the other. Pre-law political science. I was one of two dozen kids. You know, kids, I was an adult. But, you know, even at Syracuse or anywhere else, pick any large school.
Yeah.
You're right. You encounter people. And even if you only saw them at one of the large lectures a couple of times, if you run into each other in the library or the student union or the quad or whatever your college calls it, hey, how you doing? You know, kind of a thing.
Right. Exactly. So, he won't unseal any of these records. And, but yet he demands, and his people demand that Romney hand over 10 years of his tax returns. And that's not going to happen. And I don't think Romney should ever do that. And I think he should just say, hey, you know, show me your records. Show me and I'll show you.
No. Well, didn't Romney say that the other day? Didn't he say something like put up or shut up?
Shut up, I don't know. No, well, it was to Reed, like, you know, give me your source. Reed's not.
But the point I'm making is, look, if I were Mitt Romney with the record that he has,
yes,
and I'm not talking about his governor.
Mm-hmm.
If I were Mitt Romney and I had the record that I had of being the family man I was and being in the businesses I was and running the IOC and running all of these being as successful as I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could see them playing a political gamesmanship issue here with saying, no, I'm not going to waste 10 years' worth of tax returns. But it wouldn't take much to get a statement from the IRS saying, we have no reason whatsoever to investigate Mr. Romney because, sorry, folks, but he's got a perfect record with the IRS. Now, that's all it would take. Now, if I were Mitt Romney, I would most welcome the opportunity to produce 10 years worth of tax records and say, here they are. I had no compunction about handing you these records, even though we still don't have a regular form birth certificate, even though we don't have any student records, even though we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have the other on your form. You want them to check off check boxes down a form. Mr. President, you got more open than closed.
Yeah, you know, I really think that this Ryan, basically what we have is two squeaky cleans, okay? And going up against a guy that has done everything he can to hide his past.
Chicago Machine Politics, right.
Yeah, Chicago Machine Politics. Plus, he's done everything he can to hide his past. And then we have Joe Biden, who has to be the, oh, my God, I mean, can his mouth and foot get any bigger?
My problem with Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, no, Joe Biden, I mean, wait a minute. The thing with Joe Biden is that he actually has somebody out there saying, well, you know, Paul Ryan doesn't have any private sector experience, one, which is a bunch of baloney. And
right.
Two, as far as Joe Biden is concerned, he graduated law school in 1968, 1972, ran for the Senate, and he hasn't looked back at the private sector since 1972.
No, of course not.
So,
and here's my issue. It's a question of, you know, what is verifiable? We used to say at the under President Reagan, we used to say about the Soviet Union, trust but verify.
Right.
That was a catchphrase. I mean, you'd know that better than I would. I mean, it was a catchphrase. Trust, mm-hmm. but verify.
Yes.
You know, and I'm sorry. Go ahead. Trust and then verify. Oh, so what they said on MSNBC isn't really true? Because here's the verifiable document?
Right.
You know, what are they going to do? Sit there and say, oh, that was doctored. It was Photoshopped. Oh, you mean like somebody's long-form birth record?
Exactly.
That was produced 2.5 years too late?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't... You know, I'm sorry. If they've got anybody that can prove that Mitt Romney is in violation of the tax code, why isn't he in irons?
That's true. Why hasn't he been arrested? Why hasn't the IRS decided to audit all of his tax returns from, you know, 10 years?
Yes. Just a few moments ago, you mentioned the fact that Mr. Ryan,
yes,
was employed by his family's business, started by his grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Great-grandfather. You know, now it's a family business, which is why I was surprised he wasn't Italian.
Yeah, I know.
But,
well, no, it was a construction business. Where is a construction business? Come on, I mean, yeah.
You know, we used to say the same thing years ago. You know, an Italian in the construction industry or an Italian in the garbage industry. Wait, there's no mafia connection? What?
No.
But, you know, the thing is, this is verifiable.
Yeah.
I mean, he could turn around and say, what are you talking about? You know, here's, you know, all these documents that prove that I worked for the company and I wasn't an absentee. You know, I
right.
was there.
Right.
You know, it's instantly verifiable.
Yep.
This is, you know, anybody that would march in a lockstep against something like that, it really, and I'm trying not to be ad hominem here, but really needs their damn head examined.
Yeah, I know.
You know, or checked at least, at the very least, checked for whatever motivational issue they have
mm-hmm.
that would cause them to believe that, you know, out of hand. You know, you can't stand there and say that Romney hasn't paid taxes. You can't stand there and say that Ryan hasn't had a job. You can't say, we can say these things about people in the Obama administration. How many of them haven't filed taxes? We've had this discussion before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was Charlie Rangel, whether it was any of these other guys that didn't declare things on their taxes. These issues are stuff that you can Google search.
Yeah.
And say, oh, look, I guess that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm trying to remember the name of the, and I wrote it down. I did. I wrote it down. I'm trying to see it from here, and I can't. So maybe I didn't write it down here. Maybe I wrote it down in the other room.
Okay.
There is a YouTube channel.
Yes.
That doesn't use humans. It uses computer-generated people.
Okay.
Computer-generated voices. All you have to do is just go to YouTube and in the search bar on YouTube type in how liberals argue.
Yeah, okay.
And it brings up this pair of computer-generated people in a computer-generated scene, you know, with computer-generated vocoder voices, and the woman is standing there saying, you are a fascist. You watch Fox News. you know, you are this and you are that. And it's ad hominem attack after ad hominem attack, and the guy keeps turning to her saying, wait, do you mean you've never actually checked stuff? Of course not. I watch MSNBC. They tell me what to think, you know. And at the very end, the poor guy loses control. This is a computer-animated person loses control and says, you are a nut job.
Yep.
How? Look, there are things that have been said against various injury politicians of the other side of the aisle from me. Yeah. And I don't just swallow it hook, line, sinker, bait, rod, reel. If it's something that seems way to heck and gone out there, I check. I check.
Yeah, oh, sure. Sure. No, you see, no, the thing is that, don't forget, we spoke about this before, liberals just, they're so insecure, they're so mentally unstable in this, that has been proven, that they can't, a lot of times they can't handle reality. So they develop this little world, and they don't go out of it. They won't.
May God love my mother the way I do.
Okay.
Right. My mother sends me, I don't know how many emails a week, okay? But however many it is, many of them are, let's just say they're not pro-Obama.
Okay.
And when I look at them, I bet you 40% of the time.
Yeah.
Two out of five, four out of ten. I turn around and say, wait. And I go and I either Snopes or Google or whatever. And I send it out and I reply all.
Yeah.
Saying, this isn't true.
Yeah.
Now, everybody in my family or circle of family around either my mother, myself, my brothers, you know, that would be in that reply all. Know full well that I am not that I'm a capital C conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that if I'm saying this isn't true, go look, and I provide links, that they're going to turn around and say, oh, you know,
yeah,
you know, I another cartoon I saw recently from Western Journalism showed Harry Reid saying that Romney hasn't, a little bird on his shoulder saying Harry Reid Mitt Romney hasn't paid taxes in 10 years. And in the next frame of the cartoon, it shows a media, you know, the old fashioned gumshoe media, you know, reporter with a press pass in his hat, saying, it doesn't matter. Show me anybody that can prove he did pay taxes.
Yeah.
So when you hear this stuff, if your IQ is somewhat larger than your shoe size, maybe even approaching room temperature, do you honestly believe it, or do you honestly go and check? We get lost in the email forwards sometimes. You know, but by the same token, even on our side of the aisle, it pays to check.
Sure, I always check.
And I don't think they do. I think you do, I do. I think most of the other people who've been voting Republican our whole lives, as opposed to recent converts.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah, no.
But I don't think the other side of the aisle ever does.
No, you understand. They are taught their victims. And that Republicans and or conservatives just want to take away their rights, their money, their medicine, everything.
This is where it's a question of, we've talked about laser beam marketing before.
Right.
The gay issue came up earlier, the gay marriage issue, and, you know, I honestly am of the opinion, and I mean this, I am honestly of the opinion that there are probably five times as many heterosexuals ranting and raving on the gay marriage issue than there are homosexuals.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I really wouldn't be a bit surprised. Yeah, it this is just going to be very, very interesting once all this starts, the initial, you know, hoopla or whatever it is, hoopla.
Well, I don't even want to wait for the smoke to clear. I want the smoke to start. I want to look at this smoke. I want to see this.
Well, the thing is, what I think they're going to have to do is that Romney and Ryan are just going to have to start attacking Obama. They're going to have to take his record. They're going to have to make it very, very evident. They're going to have to bring the truth to light. They are. Because
well, to some extent, they already...
No. Only in a defensive posture. They have to be more offensive. And let me just tell you right now, the thing is that when you are dealing with socialists, and that's what Obama and Biden are, they are socialists. And the Democrat is no longer your grandfather's Democrat Party. They are socialists / communists. And the thing is, their main thing is just attack, and repeat the lies over and over and over again. And after a while, the lies become the truth because there is nothing else that's coming up against it.
That's old Uncle Joe there. You know?
Exactly. And the thing is that Romney has to start attacking because they are like bullies. The Democrats are bullies. And they are not going to be able to take the assault. They are not going to be able to take the assault.
So what Mitt Romney has to do is Ralphie out on him.
Yeah. Basically.
That's a reference to that that Christmas time movie.
Yeah.
Where the kid gets the bully and he just he bounces up and down on his chest.
Exactly.
Punching him. So, but here, you summed up the problem some time ago in this conversation by saying, we've got squeaky clean and squeaky clean.
That's a problem?
That could be, yes, that's a problem.
Why?
Because squeaky clean and squeaky clean aren't going to take the offensive. They aren't going to take their gloves off.
I'm talking about their backgrounds. You know what I mean? I mean,
we've seen a few moments here and there of Romney. We've seen a moment or two in the past of Romney. We've seen the fact that they do have teeth. They didn't bear them, but they do have them.
Well, they're gonna.
The trick is they've got to come out. They've got to come out of the gate, teeth bared, fists clenched. And they're not going to. They're too squeaky clean for that.
I don't know. I think that Paul Ryan has been slapped upside the head so many times up on the hill that I think that he knows exactly what these guys are going to be thrown at him because they've already thrown it at him. And I don't think that he's going to stand for it. I think Romney was waiting until his pick was made public. I really think that.
I hope you're right.
Yeah,
I hope you're right. I hope we just didn't send a pair of a Chihuahua and a Yorkshire Terrier into a ring with a pit bull and a Rottweiler.
I don't think we did. I really don't think we did. Because let me tell you something. I mean, as much as Romney was not my first pick, Newt Gingrich was.
Oh, mine either.
Okay.
And Alan West was mine.
Yeah, I know. I like Alan West. I know. Oh God, I wish that. But Alan West wasn't even running. Even Newt said
he could have been drafted. He could have been drafted.
Paul Ryan was a good pick. So
I think he could have done much, much worse.
Yeah, no, but the thing, I lost my train of thought.
Well, while you don't have your train of thought, let's bring this up. How does Paul Ryan stand on such things? Because we know Romney's weak here, foreign policy issues.
You know, I'll be honest, I do not know.
You know what? I asked you because I don't know, and here's the problem. If they're both real good with domestic policy, and neither of them are good with foreign, we have a problem.
Well, I do not know. There's one thing that I do know is that he's a big supporter of Israel. At least that. And as far
well, there's that. Yes,
there is that. He is also a big supporter of our real allies, like Great Britain. People that were supposed to be.
You just enumerated our great allies, Great Britain and Israel.
Israel, right.
Everybody else may be okay with us, but we don't really have Australia to some extent.
Australia, I have to take that back too, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just on other things, and I don't, you know, I have to do a little bit more. More work on that. I have to take a look because, you know, Paul Ryan, right now, though, it's our economy. It's our economy that makes a difference.
Somebody was going on and on, and I don't remember who. I was reading something, and this is a while back. I mean, we've got to remember we had quite a hiatus there. I was reading a thing where everybody, of course, in the wake of the Colorado massacre issue thing, people started instantaneously. I mean, you know, the blood wasn't wiped up off the floor yet, and they were all screeching for gun control.
That's right.
And I think the problem at this point is not more gun laws; it's more jobs. Yeah. I think if these people had somewhere to be and something to do every day, they wouldn't have the time or the inclination to get all, you know, whacked out and, you know, running around. I mean, somebody said, well, what about the shooting? And there was a 7-Eleven, and then there was a shooting in some other grocery store, and then there was a shooting in some other nursing home. And just, you know what? If these people had a job to go to every day, instead of sitting there, I hearken back to the days when I was a stagehand. Years and years ago in high school and then into my early college career. And one of the shows I did as a stagehand was Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And Curly turns to, oh my goodness, the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long ago it escapes me. I loved the picture, but I didn't. And says to him, you can't spend all your time down here in this shack just a crawling and a festering. You know, this is the thing. There are too many people sitting around crawling and festering instead of out there working,
mm-hmm.
putting food on the table with their own earned money, starting businesses, taking risks, making capital investments. You know, if they were busy with all that stuff, they wouldn't have the, you know, well, except maybe some Democrats, wouldn't have the time or inclination to be running into places and opening fire. You know, we used to call it going postal.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think that this guy did it because no, the guy in Aurora, Colorado did it because he's an absolute nutcase.
Yep, he's a nut job. Yep, he's and he's a genius too, from what I've seen.
Well, you know, there is a thin line between genius
and
nut
job. That's, no, I walk it every day.
I'm not there. Sorry. Well, although all of the nut jobs are on my mother's side, it's okay.
Well, no, I was trying
that.
To get to the point where I'd be a genius.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, the thing is you know, I think what's going to be most important is for them to really point out what Obama has done to this country. And in their appearances today, they have been starting to do that. And one thing that Paul Ryan did say, and if you have a small business, yes, you did build that, right? And, of
yes.
course, the crowd went wild. And, yes, they did build it. Because, you know, these small business people, and I know a lot of them, because, you know, I go into these places and I talk to them and I become friends with some of them. And, do you know, I could never do that. I could never start a small business. I mean, just the amount of energy, the drive. I that's not me. I'm sorry, you know? The drive.
Hey, I've done it. I've
the
done
worry,
it.
The day and night worrying and trying to. I mean, I couldn't do it. These people that do things
like
that. I did it.
I ran a very successful mobile DJ business for 14 years. You know,
I couldn't
paid
do
my
it.
Bills.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I mean, I've become friends with one of my local, with a local shop owner, and it's just amazing what she does to keep this business afloat, and how she very rarely takes a day off. When she does, she has somebody that comes in and, you know, minds the store for her. But it's just like I couldn't do it. So yeah, these people did build it. I mean, for heaven's
sake,
they did.
I'm trying so hard to remember, and it's a columnist you recognize the name of, female op-ed piece I read, and man, I should write this stuff down, and I should keep all
would
this
help.
Stuff in one room. Now that I've got this,
help.
This. Huh?
It would help, yes.
Yes. Well, no, you know what it is now that I've got this room with four computers going at a time, there's still other rooms with computers in them, and I write sticky notes, and I stick them to the monitor, but I have to keep them all on one monitor.
It would be nice.
Do.
Yeah, try that.
Anyway, I wrote this, I read this op-ed piece by this well-known columnist.
What, Ann Coulter?
No.
Jill Malkin?
No. No, not that well known. But a frequent contributor, whether it's Fox News, Western Journalism, a couple of the think tanks, who said, I'm sorry, what's the swimmer's name now?
I do not know. I know nothing about...
That's now been decorated with all these Olympic gold medals.
You're talking about Michael Phelps?
Michael Phelps.
Okay, there we go. That one I do know. Anybody
saying,
else?
You know, and she equivocated this and said, "You know what? He didn't win those medals. I did. When we were kids, we both swam in public pools paid for by the taxpayer. You know, he was funded by the U.S. Olympic Committee, and he had his bills paid. You know, for." College on scholarships because he could swim and
wait a minute
you know all this other stuff. I mean, the idea was the tongue wasn't even the cheek, it was sticking through the cheek. The idea was, this man, through all the motivation, all the training, all the years, this and the other thing, is now acquiring Olympic gold medals at some astounding rate, which, again, I am not an Olympic fan, I'm not a sports fan per se. So I can understand the work that goes into it.
Sure.
You know, and this is an endeavor. I mean, some people go to law school, some people go to medical school, some people go to whatever, you know. Some people become football players, some people become baseball, basketball.
Yeah, okay, right.
And, you know, I mean, but this requires, mastery of skills.
Right.
It requires effort on your part to turn around and say, well, because as a kid he started out in a publicly funded, you know, swimming pool, to equivocate it to, you did not build this. You know, the whole phrase, you did not build this, somebody else said it, is the gift that keeps on giving.
I think so. And yeah, and they are milking that for all it's worth. And then some. Because, they have to. They have to keep hitting that and hitting it out of the ballpark and making it... what are you doing?
I'm opening another bottle of ginger ale. Why?
Oh, okay, because I can hear it. It's like...
Of course you can. I'm
like, oh my God, what are you doing? Okay, I'm hearing this.
Hold on just a second, Emery. Hold on just a second.
Okay, I'm here. It's okay. I can do this on my own.
Don't worry about it. I've got a door on this room now, and it's just fine. My lovely and charming and talented woman of the house.
Okay, hi, Deb.
Well, she's out of the room.
Okay,
again.
She's out of the house.
But she has her BFF and her BFF's little girl in the other room.
That's nice.
And she wanted to make sure that if they put a movie on in the other room, that it wasn't going to disturb us.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Very considerate.
That is nice.
Now with the door on.
I would like to change the subject just a bit because something happened over the past 2 weeks that has really, really bothered me.
Oh, well, all right.
Okay. Three Marines were shot dead by an Afghan worker, and actually it was two attacks, and they claimed six U.S. lives, okay, Marines in Afghanistan. Three of them were shot by a base employee. And another one were killed by an Afghan policeman. I'm sorry. I want to get the hell out of there.
We should. And you know, ever so quietly, the Obama administration released, through channels, they released one of the conspirators to the bombing of the Marine Corps barracks all those years ago, who also was complicit in a couple of the other terrorist attacks. And one thing I have to say is I don't believe either Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan will ever bow to a foreign dignitary, ever.
Never. No, they won't. They won't. And you know,
that's just from what I do know about them. So far, so good. I don't think, as a matter of fact, if they did...
Yeah.
I would pass out.
Yeah. Oh, pass out. Yeah. Tell me about it. I'd probably die of a heart attack. No, look, this bothers me. This really bothers me. They, you know, we keep losing good people there, and I'm sick of it. I mean, they're hitting even British troops. I mean, last month, it was they killed three British soldiers. Same type of situation, okay? Afghan police again, and then you know, I can't deal with this anymore. These, I'm sorry.
It's called terrorism.
I know, and the thing is, these people aren't worth it. I'm sorry, they aren't worth it. Let's get the hell out of there. Bring our people home, and deal with terrorism on our shores.
I get it.
You're not worth it, Afghanistan. People, I'm sorry.
People insist that we have done a much better job. Granted, it's been there longer than the Soviets did back in the 80s. No, we haven't.
No. Because, look, we still do not have a situation there where our guys on base, they can't even walk around. You know?
They can't. I don't know if I were 18 again, you know, which I'm not, but if I were, and I decided to go into the armed forces, I'm not entirely convinced that I could cut it.
Oh no, you have to be. You have to be ready to be. Oh, I don't know. There's a very, very derogatory term for that. I mean, there's blank whipped by your commander.
No.
I'm talking about politically correct. I'm talking about politically correct.
I'm talking about physically and mentally and psychologically. I don't know if I would be up to the task. I don't know. With what, you know, people say, well, you know, the kids today, they got it easy, the joystick generation. I'm sorry, that much technology, while I dabble in it, to have to depend on it would scare the knickers off of me. And to be able to be out there in the pressure that these boys and girls face, boys and girls, listen to me, these men and women face, I don't know if I could hack being in the Army today. Or the Marine Corps, or anywhere else.
Well,
in the meantime, that's it.
Yeah.
We are putting them in harm's way for less of a benefit to us. Security, you know, financial. We're spending however many millions of dollars a day. You know, I mean, this is Pickett's charge. You know, this is... if we did kill the last one... And I'm sorry, to kill the last one, that means pretty much we got to kill pretty much everybody.
Uh-huh.
If we did, and we went to the highest peak in Afghanistan, and we raised the stars and stripes, and we said, there, we won, it would be a Pyrrhic victory at the very, very best.
Definitely.
And I've been saying for years, people say, well, Woody, how do you feel about the war? I said, bring them home.
Bring them home.
I said, 5 years ago, more than that. I said this a long time ago, bring them home.
No, we are sacrificing the lives of these soldiers on the altar of political correctness. We are. And I don't want to do this anymore because, I mean, some of the commanders are like, oh, well, you know, they don't want us to do this. They don't want us to do that.
We have changed the rules of engagement. You know, when I was in the United States Army, the rules of engagement were twofold. Rule number one was, there are no friendlies in a combat zone.
That's right.
Rule number two was, if you encounter friendlies in a combat zone, refer to rule number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that, you know, the hearts and minds thing, I'm sorry, people, went out of style in 1975.
Yeah.
We proved it didn't work then, it's not going to work now.
That's right.
The best thing we could do is, as you said, bring them home. We don't have to lay them all off. We don't have to have a mass layoff. Bring them home and bring security to us in our homeland.
We can,
and here's my point. My point is, anybody, I'm sorry, he spells it A-H Lugi M, so it's Ahmadinejad.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmadinejad. Any of these, you know, any of these people... Get out of line. We don't need to spend 35 $2 billion cruise missiles a week over there. We just keep them handy, and when somebody opens up their trap, we run one right down it.
I like that idea. I like that idea. Do you know that the attack, this bothers me too, talking about terrorism, how the FBI labeled the attack on the Sikh temple as domestic terrorism?
That was
a hate crime.
I was hoping you weren't going to go there because I was furious. I was livid.
That's not domestic.
When I read that, I was absolutely, positively, you know what? I pride myself in my blood pressure, but I bet you I could have blown that cuff right off my arm.
Yeah.
I was furious. I don't even like the term hate crime.
I don't like it either. But if you're going to distinguish, the guy was a white supremacist crap, neo-Nazi or something, a real jerk, and he attacks these people like this. Okay, so let's just label it a hate crime, you know, but not domestic terrorism. Because
no, I don't believe it was domestic terrorism.
No, it wasn't.
That's what made me so furious.
No, it wasn't.
Even hate crime. Look, the guy walked in there. He's obviously not terribly well adjusted because, look, we complain enough about the Democrats, let alone somebody who affiliates themselves with neo-Nazism or National Socialism or the Bund or Turnverein, whatever you want to call it. Somebody who would affiliate themselves with that, first of all, 99% of them wouldn't qualify. Hitler would have them gassed.
That's true.
Second of all, to associate yourself on that kind of a spectrum tells me instantly that your balance is somewhere off the middle.
Right.
Take this guy out, and this is because here we go again. Here we go again. This guy is going to tie the courts up for how long?
He can't do anything. He's dead.
No, but the point is they're going to take this as, I shouldn't precedent, but they're going to take this as case, a backstory into the domestic terrorism / hate crime / nut job in the future for years, in the days of, in 2012 when the Sikhs were murdered, and they're going to turn around and say, well, in 2012 when the theater in Colorado was shut up, and they're going to, all of these things, these are stuff they're going to use.
Yeah, but
I know he's dead. That's fine. He's not going to cost us a nickel. But his actions are.
Well, the thing is, too, what really bothers me about this, and this ties in with the military, is that this moron, they say it's domestic terrorism, but Major Nidal Hassan, who killed 13 people on Fort Hood, that was workplace violence. Excuse me?
Yes, workplace violence.
The man was standing there screaming, Allah Akbar, for Christ's sake.
I was furious with that one, too. What do you mean workplace violence?
No. See, that this is how screwed up our government is. This is how screwed up the military is. This is how screwed up the political correctness has gotten into it. Plus, another thing is that that stupid moron who shot up the theater should not have even been. Somebody actually reported him and said, this guy has some serious mental problems. He should not even be out on the street. And nobody did anything because of the political correctness in this country who thinks that all these nut jobs have to have rights. No, you don't.
I'm not
if your actions are going to mean the death or injury of innocent people. I'm sorry. Put them away.
I'm not one to be prejudiced against someone for their outward appearance, per se. If you're of full legal age, or actually it probably should stop there. But, if you're a full legal age and you want to dye your hair orange, that's your business.
I have a friend that dyes her hair purple and then pink. That's got nothing to do with it.
If you want to wear big spikes, that thing on History or Discovery or A&E, I don't know, whatever it is. There's a guy who's got like 93% of his body tattooed, and he's got stainless steel implants and spikes, and he's got his tongue split, and they call him Lizard Man.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
You know, look, the guy, you know, he lives his life the way he wants. Who the heck am I to judge? But if he were to walk into my business and say, I'd like to apply for a job, I'd have to really, really, really vet out his qualifications.
Well, no, it's got nothing to do with that, Lou, though.
Yes, it does.
No,
it does. Because if this guy was walking around with orange hair and someone had already said, look, this guy's a little out there. He calls himself the Joker. You might want to...
He was seeing a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist had already warned the university. He said, this guy has some serious mental problems. Okay?
And well, they said that about the kid that shot up Virginia Tech, too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that this political correctness thing, this fact that everybody has the right to walk around society and be part of society, you know, no matter what they may do to it.
Well, let's brace the fact that the word the phrase political correctness is baloney, because it's neither. The point is, while everybody should be able to live the life the way they want, how they want, etc., that does not grant them immunity from rights I have to say, this guy's a whack job. You know, for me to sit there and say, for the lizard man, as I started to say about a business, for the lizard man to walk into my, let's just say, deli. Not that we have any in me, but let's just say Delhi, that you and I know about Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just say he walks into my deli, because I've got a help wanted sign out. And he walks in the door and wants to apply for a job. By law, I have to hand him the application.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if I can't discriminate against him, you know, but let's put it this way. If I had a job opening, do you think for a second that I might not call my nephew and say, listen, work for me for 2 weeks, I'll pay you $3,000. Just work here for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say the job was filled. He has a right to go out and live the life he wants the way he wants, but that doesn't mean he has a right to tear my business down because he's a freak. There we go. So now you've got these kids who did Columbine. You've got these bullies. You've got these people who did Virginia Tech. You've got this fool that shot up 13 people in Fort Hood. They're right. The basic premise of rights is yours end where mine begin and vice versa. The whole thing about hate crime, political correctness, etc., like that, there's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for it. The only reason for it, as you said, there are euphemisms we have used in the past in New Jersey in our younger days for the way people are. There are, you know, phrases we have used in the past. I don't use anymore. So, you know, but you don't need hate crime. You don't need political correctness. All you need is common freaking sense and common freaking decency and common respect to yourself and others, and everything is fine. And I know that sounds hyper simplistic. I know that sounds very naive.
Yeah, it does, because it doesn't work with Muslims. It doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't work with Islam. They don't respect anybody.
Well, whether it works with... look, I know many
Hindus.
That's
why these Marines...
I know many Hindus, and I know many Sikhs.
I know, but they're not, they don't want to take me and throw me in, you know, something and say, you have to worship the way we do. They don't want to do that. And the thing is, when I see these Marines getting killed like this, you know, and it just bothers me.
When 9/11 happened...
Yeah.
They took a lot of beating.
I know, because people do not know the difference.
Well,
Sikh is different
great.
Than a Muslim.
People don't.
Muslims hate the Sikhs.
Muslims hate everybody.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. I mean, come on.
It's a question of, look, you live the way you want, I'll live the way I want. If we have to interact, you base your experience on your beliefs, and I'll base my experience on my beliefs. The whole thing, this goes right, and you talk about, this goes right back to everybody getting a participating trophy and nobody getting a winning trophy.
Yeah.
It all has to be touchy-feely, warmy-fuzzy.
Yeah, even in our military.
Even in the military.
Which is stupid.
This is why I don't think I could hack it.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I mean, nowadays they have little cards that they hand you.
Yeah.
If you've been offensive, or if you haven't completed the task as assigned.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff. Listen, when I was in the Army, the drill sergeant started out with my mother and went south from there.
Exactly. Yes, I know. Now it's like they have to stop and explain very calmly what you did wrong and why you shouldn't have done it that way and what the consequences will be. And it's like, and they have to do it in a calm manner so as not to upset you. It's like, what? Please.
I was already out of the Army by the time they put a woman under a parachute on purpose.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that women that happen to be up in the sky should not be protected by virtue of 9 yards of silk.
Mm-hmm.
But I this sounds really rude of me, but I don't believe that's their mission. And mind you, I've seen the women of the IDF, and I've seen them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with the fact that women can acquit themselves perfectly well in combat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily believe that all of the little inroads we've made on behalf of that phrase, political correctness, there's a, we weren't allowed to go within a certain, and it was defined by a yellow line on the ground, painted, within a certain distance of the quote-unquote whack, because when I was in the Army, we still had whacks.
Okay.
We weren't allowed, yeah, I know, we still had whacks. They actually wore the Athena brass. Can
oh
you believe that?
Oh my God, really? Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm an old codger. We had wax, and we weren't allowed to be within a certain number of feet of the WAC barracks as male soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a line around our barracks that the WACs had to avoid. We had... So you want to talk political correctness? Where was our yellow line?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
But now they live in the same barracks. They train in the same training trenches. They do all these. And I'm not saying that women aren't capable. I'm not saying that women don't deserve. I'm not saying. I'm saying this. You can't dumb down with the technology involved just in the United States Army. Then you add the Air Force, the Marine Corps. We have women that sit in the pilot seat of $22 million aircraft and unleash Hellfire missiles, Sparrow missiles, Sidewinder missiles, 20-millimeter rounds, and they do it with aplomb and efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they can't do the job. I'm saying that you have to train people differently.
Sure.
You can't train women to do what they do best and train men to do what men do best. And I'm sorry, boys and girls on the left, there are differences.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the same room.
Yep. Exactly.
This isn't a sales team building seminar.
That's right. Hey, listen.
This is combat.
Yep, that's true. Hey, listen, I wanted to touch a little bit on, you start talking about the, just a bit here because we're kind of running out of time.
No, we're not running out of time. We're running to the point where, you know, we have to cut it off because of upload speeds, but go ahead.
What?
We could do this live. We could do this for the next 4 hours. It's just a question of upload speed.
No, you mentioned before about the gun control laws and everything. And because of those shootings, obviously the real nut jobs, the liberals, are starting to get their little, you know, panties in
knickers in a knot.
Knickers in a knot. And of course, you know, they're starting to talk about more restrictions on guns or ammo. Sure, we can have our guns, but we can't have any ammunition, right?
I've got a bit stockpiled.
What?
I've got a bit in the closet. Look. You're right. If we have guns but no ammunition, it's no good to us whatsoever, except maybe as a great big iron club.
Well, no, I mean, they're talking about restricting sales of ammunition. That's what
I had because of the kind of guy I am, I had a thing come across my wire the other day about a specific new weapon that's now been offered for sale, and it comes in a suitcase.
Right.
And then there's another one that actually resembles a portable radio that when you push a button, it opens up and it's a 5.56 rifle. In semi, of course, for public consumption, and for secret service, of course, would be auto.
Right.
And people say, well, why would you want that? You know, when we talk about the various and sundry black guns, you know, every hunting weapon that we have in our arsenals basically started out as a military weapon. What's the difference whether it was, you know, a 1903 Springfield, whether an 08 Enfield, a Mauser, an M1 Garand, you know, every hunting arm on the planet started out as a military arm. So the fact that it's an M16 or an M4 or an AR-15 or whatever that has been brought to the sporting world by virtue of evolution, you know, is an argument that's been going on for some time.
Right.
Myself, personally, I have no use at all for 223. I've used it in accordance with the label directions and found it did not work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, okay, aside from that, people say, oh, well, why would you want one? That's none of your business.
Right.
Why I would want one is none of your business.
Right. No.
I am constitutionally guaranteed the right to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but why would you want one? None of your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you know, you can't explain to me why you'd want one. No, I can explain to you why I'd want one, but it's none of your business.
Right.
America, I owe you no explanation. The Constitution of the United States, with its attendant first two amendments, we'll say 10, but it's the first two amendments because it is number two.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights guarantees me the right to own it without explaining to you why I'd want to.
Right.
Well, you know, militia meant no. If you really going to fall back on that argument, damn it, you'd better go somewhere and read what the militia meant to our founding fathers.
Yes, exactly.
Because the militia was not designed to keep Britain at bay. The militia was not designed to keep London at bay. It was not designed to keep Madrid at bay. It was not designed to keep Paris at bay. It was designed to keep Washington at bay.
Or at the time, our federal government, Washington wasn't exactly the established yet.
Yeah, but yeah. So, when it comes right down to, you know, look. And I'm going to do it again because I know I failed my mission last time. Heritage.org. Send them a dollar. They'll send you a copy of the Constitution.
Oh, you can get it online.
You can get it. But you still got to send them a dollar. Well, you can read it online.
No, you can read it online, yeah.
But you get a copy you can actually put in your pocket.
That's true.
So that if you encounter one of people that's in that CGI cartoon-oriented YouTube video, you can whip it out and say, okay, here, point to me. Point to me. Where does it say that? Or here, point to me. Where doesn't it say that?
Yeah.
Because you'll have it in your pocket before Winston Smith and Big Brother get a hold of it and dilute it with new speak and new thought and new propaganda.
Yep.
And I'll let you take us out, well, to some extent.
Oh, to some extent? Oh.
Well, don't forget, I always get that last five words.
Gee, thank you, Lou. Well, folks, I guess Lou's wrapping it up because I did have a few things to say, but I guess we should wrap it up.
Thank you so much.
Listen, guys, all right. Will you please let me get aboard an edgewise? If you want me to wrap this up, then let me wrap this up.
I don't want to wrap it up. I'd like to go four more hours, but you said we're getting long here. You know, okay. Other days, you know, without breathing.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm starting. I don't know. No, but anyway, let me start.
I give them.
What?
I get ulcers, I give them.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, man, before we leave,
big breath.
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, God, no.
I have to.
We were trying to. Okay, I got the heritage.org plug in.
Thank you.
Moment, okay.
Nancy Pelosi had another moment in which she still keeps seeing the spirits of Susan B. Anthony around, right? And it's just like, and somebody else, too. I can't remember who that is. Stanton, I think, the last name. I can't remember. But, I mean, just the fact that this woman is still spouting this stuff. And seriously, there is something seriously wrong with this woman. I mean, definitely. I mean, come on.
Every time you mention her name, how many times can you interject the word seriously? When it's probably the least applicable word.
I'm sorry. That's true. That is true. I mean, the woman. All right, so she's psychotic. Okay, how about that? She's nuts. She's bots, okay, to use an Italian term.
Wait, is there a feminine gender variant for ad hominem?
I don't know.
Ad hominem?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you, she just keeps going on and on and on. And I'll be honest with you, in the next few months until this election, I want to see what gems come out of her mouth. I mean, because you know darn well something, she's going to keep, you know, bringing them out and just trying to make her points, just like the crazy lady she is. But we're not crazy, folks.
The only gems that I can see coming out of her mouth are the same gems I find in the lawn where the dogs have been.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, well, she's still at it. But, folks, I guess we're going to have to wrap this up. But as, just to kind of summarize here just a bit, we do have a vice presidential pick by Romney. It's Paul Ryan. And things are going to get really interesting over the next 3 or 4 months.
Or maybe they won't.
Or they won't?
Well, that's my point.
What?
I mean, you know, we'll take the entire campaign and put it between two slices of white bread toast.
White bread. I knew you were going to say that. Well, let's just hope for the best on this, okay? I think we're off to a good start.
Nice if they put it between a ciabatta roll, you know, nice piece of Italian bread, you know?
Oh, dude, nice. You know the Italian bread that has a nice crust outside, the nice hard crust, and the inside is nice and airy and great. We're talking about nice round loaf, remember?
As Julius LaRosa used to say, Italian bread so tasty you could eat it for dessert.
Yes. Darn good bread. Okay, so we're going to try this again. Thanks, folks, for listening. Probably the 1.7 people that still listen. We're going to try and make sure we do this a little bit more regularly.
3.7, you know.
What?
get back up to our 3.7.
Yeah, let's hope. And listen, hopefully we'll be here next week or maybe sooner. And thank you for listening.
I'd like everybody to stay tuned, because I got a hunch that the closer we get to November, the more frequent these moments are going to become. Emery, I know I join you in thanking our troops. I know I join you in thanking their families for their sacrifice and for their persistence.
Yes.
In facing the honor that belongs to the United States of America. And I know you share with me my particular fondness for our first responders of every stripe, red, blue, green,
definitely. Yeah.
Because without them, we're really, really just a nation of idiots.
Yep.
And on that note, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time. And God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.